And then it was January, and nothing had changed. Of course, it never did, despite the folly of New Year's resolutions, well-intentioned as they were. The January 6th anniversary came and went, the delusional right-wingers clinging to their sense of grievance in the face of reality. The anti-vaxxers, too, dug in their heels. Now they were making heroes and martyrs of the smug sports stars who refused to get the shot, Novak Djokovic and the professional basketball and football players. Max Schneider sent a news story about a farmer in Schneverdingen, Germany, south of Hamburg, arranging his herd of sheep into the shape of a 330-foot syringe in a field in support of the vaccination campaign. Max's point, of course, was that people who got the vaccine were sheep, not very bright, behaved as they were told, docile. They weren't independent thinkers like Max himself was, of course. "There's no difference between Trump and Biden," he declared. "They're both fascists. At least the Supreme Court isn't letting Biden's mandates go through." Snyder sounded like Trump in his endless hysteria about the 2020 election being rigged, unable to accept his loss. Both of them seemed like the street corner crazies repeating their endless conspiracy theories. "The world is ending. Repent." "Jesus, Max, get a grip." Liebert remembered the scramble for vaccine appointments the year before, like something out of The Hunger Games, competition for the magic elixir, like something out of Harry Potter. Liebert and Ardella would go online early every morning to try and snag one of the various pharmacies, finally locating a Rite Aid in February, only a few miles away. Now, it was the same for tests and masks. In December, the city announced free tests would be distributed at public libraries branches, but when Ardella and Liebert walked over to their local branch 45 minutes after it opened, the tests had long been gone. A line had started 2 hours before opening in the 30-degree cold. It was like the kids of his youth who camped overnight to get a ticket to a Rolling Stones concert, sleeping bags rolled out on the pavement. "No more COVID tests." The handwritten signs greeted you at every pharmacy door like a ransom note. Advice on how to get tested circulated around the various neighborhood internet grapevines. When Ardella's sister, Liesel, who lived in Costa Rica, sent a link to a story in a journal called El Tiempo with the headline, "Dos ácidos de planta de cannabis podrían prevenir el COVID-19, Liebert had to smile. What a discovery. Two acids in the cannabis plant prevented COVID-19. It sounded like the sort of thing Donald Trump might have peddled the year before, along with Clorox and shining a light in the body's orifices. Liesel was prone to conspiracy theories herself. "Imagine if it was my sister you married," Ardella mused. "Her name would be Liesel Liebert." The article went on to say that two acids found in the cannabis plant could help keep the virus that causes COVID-19 from entering human cells by blocking a critical process for infection. The study had apparently taken place at Oregon State University at the Oregon State Global Hemp Innovation Center College of Pharmacy. The two acids, called cannabigerolic acid, CBGA, and cannabidiolic acid, CBDA, el ácido cannabigerolico y el ácido cannabidiolico, bind to spike protein of SARS-CoV-2 and prevent the virus from entering cells and spreading the infection. Liebert remembered that song from Easy Rider. "Don't bogart that joint, my friend, pass it over to me." Liebert forwarded the article to Max Schneider. "Right up your alley, Max. No doubt the Incas would have approved." One day, a week or so later, Liebert realized that he hadn't heard from Max Schneider for a while. Baby Max was sick with COVID, or maybe he was dead. Or had he just stopped writing, the way social media friends come and go? It was clear that their differences of opinion were sharp. Maybe he'd insulted Max. The bear remembered dropping his Trump-supporting friends one by one over the past 4 years, old friends to whom he could no longer relate. Or was Max a Russian troll after all, a fake Facebook account? It occurred to Liebert all at once that though they had struck up a friendship, ostensibly over Broadway musicals which Liebert and Ardella enjoyed, Hamilton, The Book of Mormon, etc., the conversation had moved quickly to COVID-19. The confidential tone was precisely what a con man was all about, right? Someone who tricks you by gaining your trust and persuading you to believe something that isn't true. Though he lived in London, Max had said something vague about growing up in Chicago. Snyder hadn't tried to get money from him, but maybe that wasn't his game? Another mystery that would never be solved. If only Agatha Christie were writing the story and tying up the loose ends. Liebert smiled, remembering the Facebook friend requests from gorgeous, half-clad 20-something bombshells, wondering at the people behind the photographs, their motives. Facebook was a magnet for disinformation, a breeding ground. Meanwhile, when he turned on the radio that morning as he prepared coffee for Ardella and himself, a story about the long-term effects of COVID on the children of pregnant women hammered him to submission. The endless speculation. You couldn't escape it. It was all anybody talked about. And how could you ever know the long-term effects of something that was only 2 years old? It was as mysterious as how long COVID would last. And then, just before the Martin Luther King weekend, the Maryland judiciary extended phase 3 to March 6th because of the virus, just as Novak Djokovic was being deported from Australia. Jury trials would resume in phase 5. Liebert calculated the odds. His birthday was in June. How long would it go on? Dangling man. MLK, Liebert reflected, the quintessential figure of civil disobedience. How did Djokovic or Max Snyder stack up against somebody like Martin Luther King or like Gandhi? Thoreau had refused to pay federal taxes in protest of the Mexican War and slavery. It is not too soon for honest men to rebel and revolutionize, he'd written in his essay on the duty of civil disobedience. That government is best which governs least, Thoreau had likewise written, and that government is best which governs not at all. Gandhi had called Thoreau one of the greatest and most moral men America has produced, who had taught nothing he was not prepared to practice in himself. Gandhi'd come up with his own Satyagraha campaign in South Africa and later in the Indian independence movement, nonviolent resistance. King's daughter had recently called for new levels of civil disobedience in support of voting rights nationwide, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, the For the People Act, to expand voter access. And what did this have to do with Liebert's jury service? Was he more king in deciding not to comply, or more Djokovic? Or neither, really, since he'd follow the procedure to request an exemption. Your request has been granted. What about the insurrectionists, the Trump horde, on January 6th? Disobedient, for sure, but hardly civil. Liebert poured himself a cup of coffee, and he waited. He reflected. This was always how life worked, wasn't it? Waiting. Waiting and waiting and waiting.